Amen. Good morning, 10th Press. Come on, y'all. I'm a Baptist preacher. Y'all got to talk a little bit to me, all right? I already got word consent from your pastor. It's all right for you to say amen. It's all right for you to talk back to me, all right? So good morning, 10th Press. Amen. Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord today, and it's good to see all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Listen, do not be alarmed. I do have Amen Corner with me. So, Stephen, raise your hand right there. That brother, if you hear him, he's going to talk all during my sermon, okay? I'm telling you right now so you won't be afraid, okay? But if you don't know what to do, just follow his lead, all right? He's going to show you what to do. If Helen is here, I'm not sure if she was at the earlier service when I said this, but, you know, Helen asked me this week what was I going to preach. And typically the information is in the bulletin. And I wasn't sure quite yet, but as the week began to progress and as the Holy Spirit began to talk to me, he led me to this passage of Scripture that I believe is important for the church, and I don't say just this church, the church as a whole, to understand. We have an opportunity. There's an opportunity before us, and even during this pandemic, God has allowed us to use this moment to reach as many people that are lost as possible. And I firmly believe that what's going on in this text that I'm getting ready to preach is something that goes on in a lot of churches all across America. The unwillingness to accept the fact that God did not call and send his son to call the righteous, but he came to call the sinner into repentance. Somebody's learning already. God bless you. Here's the thing. To be completely honest, the church's witness is fractured. I want you to hear what I'm saying to you this morning. Don't be deceived by the fact that we are in this sanctuary and that there are people meeting in churches all over the world right at this moment. The fact of the matter is that the church has lost its direction and its commandment that God, through his son Jesus Christ, commissioned us to do. It's all right that we meet and we worship together and we do these things, but the overriding mission is for us to get to the people that are broken, the people that are lost, the people that are destitute, the people that this world has kicked to the curb. As a matter of fact, the demographic that we were in before his grace found us. And I think that's what gets lost sometime in the church. What gets lost in the church is that we did not come here in pews singing hymns. The scriptures told us that we were conceived in sin and shaped in iniquity. But it's only by God's grace. And if you have experienced God's grace, let me see you wave your hand and say, thank God for his grace. Come on, say it like you mean it. Say, thank God for his grace. When you think about your life, there is nothing that you have done to deserve it. You can't work for it. You can't earn it. You can't achieve it. But God, because he loves his creation so much, watch this, even the creation that rebelled against him at the beginning of time. And if you know the Bible, if you study the Bible like me, you know that Genesis through Revelation is this, is God relentlessly chasing after his people. It is a love affair with God, seeing the same creation that he's created and refusing to submit to him, but him still finding ways to chase after them. And we must be careful, church. We must be careful not to be concerned with pampering the saved that we do not rescue the lost. Churches all over Philadelphia have set up ministries and all over this world set up ministries and things that are designed for the saved. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't do that. We should have ministries to strengthen the body of Christ. That's all through Scripture. But what about the mission? Have we become so excited with the fact that we have experienced His grace and we have experienced His mercy that we neglect the ones that even may be sitting amongst us or we walk past every day and say no word about Jesus to? You remember in Acts, in the book of Acts, what happened was is they the man that was laying there lame was in a, he was in front of a church. And the church folk were walking right past him. And this man said this. He said, "Do you have any alms?" But I heard Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none. But such I give unto you in the name of Jesus." See, it is Jesus that makes the difference. And you're going to see in this text how the attitude of the believer should be. God, y'all, I'm already at excitement point already. Because every time I start talking about Jesus, I get excited. Because I know what He's done for me. And my soul can't keep quiet. I can't sit here and not say it like He's blessing me and how He's filling me in my spirit. Listen to what A.W. Tozer says this. He says this. I gave this quote earlier at the 9 a.m. service. He says this. He says, "I believe that entertainment and amusements are the work of the enemy to keep dying men from knowing they're dying and the enemies of God from remembering that they're enemies." You know what's even worse than that, than the world being distracted by entertainment and amusement? Is the church. We got people in the church all over the world. When you talk about salvation, they don't want to hear that. They want to hear how they can be blessed. They want to hear how they can be elevated. They want to hear how they can get more. They want to get how they want to get more about how their territory will be enlarged. But the fact of the matter is, if you do not have a heart for the lost, if you don't have a heart for the broken, then you are absent of God's heart. And if you don't have God's heart, then you cannot serve His creation. See, God is relentlessly pursuing the rebel. Look at what's going on in this text. I want to set this scene for you. He's in a house that he really shouldn't be in. He's sitting with a tax collector. He's sitting with sinners. He's sitting with his disciples. And I call them some spiritual hypocrites. I call them spiritual sanctimonious people, right? Who get all indignant when they see somebody who doesn't come in that looks like them. When they sit next to somebody who might not smell the right way, or they sit next to somebody who's on the lower end of the scale, or they sit next to somebody whose sin they think is worse in the eyes of God. Lord, help me preach this thing like I feel it, because I hear Romans saying that all have sinned and come short of His glory. But what we have turned it into, if my father was here, he would say that we've turned it into y'all have sinned. It ain't y'all, it's all of us. Don't you understand that it is only by God's grace that even your heart is beating at this moment? Nobody in here has done everything correctly. Please hear me. And I'm a pastor, I can tell you this. Every single day, I don't do everything right. But I thank God that His grace makes up the shortages. That is mercy. That's why Lamentations says it like this. It says that morning by morning, new mercies we see. Then it goes on to say, great is His faithfulness. Let's look at this text. He's there. In the spiritual hypocrites, they're even saying to me, "Who are you, preacher, think you can reach these people? We don't want to hear about the whoremonger. We don't want to hear about the drunk. We don't want to hear about the fornicator. We don't want to hear about the homosexual. We don't want to hear about the liar. We don't want to hear about the cheater." This is what happens. They say, "Why are you sitting? Why is your master sitting with these folk?" Let me tell you something. As I sat with your pastor and we had breakfast, and it was some good breakfast, y'all, by the way. We went to Sabrina's over in Jersey, and I had some shrimp and grits, and he had some French toast, but that's beside the point. But it was clear to me that he has a heart for the lost, that he has a heart for those who are broken. I listened to him. And he said, "We got to do more in the community. We got to reach out more to those who are not in here." Not just the folk that are spiritual, not just the people who have relationship, but the people that are forgotten every day. And I'm sorry to bore you, but if this bores you, then you might not be a Christian, because this is our first mandate. Jesus, when he left, he says, go into all the world, teaching them. He didn't say the person that looks like you. He didn't say the person that dresses like you. He just said, find the sinner and get to them. Can you imagine if somebody would have thought that you didn't need to hear the gospel? Where would your life be? Where would you be if someone would have looked at you and said, you know what? That person doesn't need God's grace. They don't deserve God's grace. Look at what he says. Jesus says this. He says, well, people have no need of a physician. See, really, what we've done is we've missed the concept of even church. Church is, watch this, church is not for well folk. Church is for sick people. This is why we come here, because we want to worship him. We want to get closer to him. We want him to do something in our hearts. We want him to do something in our minds. We want him to energize our spirit. We want him to rejuvenate us. It's the house of God that we've turned into the house of man. And Jesus said it like this: upon this rock Jesus, full of compassion, full of mercy. He said, I didn't come to call the righteous. Y'all don't mind if I come down a little bit? Pastor told me I could move around a little bit. You know, normally at my church, I'm moving, I'm sweating, I'm jumping over a whole bunch of stuff. I'm not going to do that today, but I am going to come down and talk to you. But this is what happens. Jesus is doing this and he's saying, I didn't come to call the righteous. I didn't come to call the best Bible student. I didn't come to call the person who knows all the scripture but is void of my spirit. I didn't come to call that person. I came to call the sinner. I came to call the person who's forgotten about. I came to call the person where the world has deemed worthless. That's who he came to call. And you know what he was really pointing to? He was pointing to Micah 6:8. You know what Micah 6:8 says? I'll read it for you if you don't know. He says, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly. Here it is: to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. You got to love mercy. You got to love giving mercy. You want to know why? Because Jesus says in his inaugural address, blessed are the merciful, for they what? Shall obtain mercy. Jesus was telling us what to do. And there are sinners right now, I'm telling you, I see them all the time. I go to, when I'm walking down the streets, I see them. They want to come to the house of God. But do you want to know why they won't come? They won't come because when they come in, they don't feel that same love. They feel condemnation. Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus says, no. He says, no, 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 no. No, I didn't come into this world. I didn't come into this world to condemn nobody. Because God's going to have the final say on that one day. But I came that they would be saved. I came to give them hope. I came to give them a future. I came to show them that they can walk in a different way. I came to show them that even they're dirty, even though they're messed up, even though they're foul, even though they've been sick, sin sick, even though they have rebelled against me, thank you, Holy God, even though they refuse to come to me, I'm going to chase after them. I know you're saying, well, preacher, you didn't give me the subject of your message, and I wanted to start out so you could see where I'm going. But the title of my message is this: don't change the mission for your own. The mission of the church is not what we've made it, but it's Jesus' mission. He says, I come that you might have life and life more abundantly. But the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to change your destination. I've come to change your attitude. I've come to change your heart. I've come to put a testimony in your mouth. If you knew my full testimony, you wouldn't think I should be preaching in this church. But it ain't because of what I've done wrong. It ain't even what I've done right. It's by his grace. Because I don't deserve it. I don't deserve to do it. I told you the cross, the gospel is one of my favorite subjects to preach, but it also makes me cringe. You want to know why? Because I know how sinful I am. I know what I did. I know what I still do. I know what I struggle with. I know the places that I should have not gone. I know the things that I should have not thought. But God still, in his grace and his abounding mercy, says, you know what, preacher? I'm going to let you still stand in the grace. I'm going to still let you stand with authority. How do we overcome the enemy? We overcome him by what? The blood of the Lamb and what? The word of our testimony. We've been saved and now we've come in our churches, and not this church, this church. It's churches all over the world. You don't mind if I walk, do you? I want to get all up in here. But it's churches all over the world. That we have become saved and now we're like, we don't want nobody in. We're comfortable. We're singing our hymns. We feel good. We got on our tie. I got on a tie too. But we got on our dress clothes. Who are they that they think they can come into the house of God? No, the question is, who are we that we think we can ban somebody? And I'm going to tell you why the mission is so important not to abort. And the reason why I believe that it's so important not to abort is because if we abort this mission of seeking the lost, remember where Jesus was at? He was sitting in the house of sinners. Quit running from people who are sinful. Find them and wrap your arms around them. Find them and say, there's hope. There's a different path you can take. There's a God that I serve that loves you. No matter where you've been, there's some people in here who might have been drunks. There's some people in here who might have been liars. There's some people in here that was your only testimony. That was your identity. But whatever you've been through, God is using you from being turned from a maniac into a messenger. Don't change the message. Don't change the mission for your own heart. You want to know why? Because our heart is not the heart of God. God's heart is different. You ever notice somebody make us mad? We don't talk to them for 5 days. We won't speak to them. That's not God's heart. He's long-suffering. Even though we go to him and say, Lord, I ain't doing this no more. I've done it. Y'all ain't done that. But I've gone to him and said, Lord, I ain't doing this no more. I'm never going to do this again. Oh, Lord, if you let me out this time, blah, blah, blah. And he keeps doing it even when I do that. He's long-suffering. Somebody messes up, we throw him away. That wasn't Jesus' way. It was to love him. I want to give you this. There's three reasons why you can't get rid of this. Three reasons why you cannot get rid of the mission. Here's the first reason. You can't get rid of the mission because it's the heart of God. It's the heart of God. The heart of God is for the lost. The family member that you have that you think is unreachable, that's where God wants you to be. The person that you think can't receive it, the person that you think is not able to receive God's grace, that is the heart of God. He's not only here for us who are Christians, but he's here for the people who are lost. He wants them. How do I know it? It's right in Scripture. 2 Peter 3:9. It's right here in Scripture. It says, the Lord is not slack to his promise, as some call slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing, watch this, that any should perish. So who does that mean? That means the racist. That means the homosexual. That means the lesbian. That means the liar. That means the drunkard. That means the adulterer. That means the idolater. That means the person who was a dissension maker. He wants that person, the rebel. He wants them. That's the heart of God. And it can't be replaced with the heart of man. Look at it. John 3:16. We quote it. Oh, the gospel of the world. And we get excited, but we don't understand the meaning. I told you earlier, he said he didn't come to condemn, but through him that the world would be saved. Look at what Psalm 86 is saying. Pastor, I'm really trying not to run right now because I'm thinking about my own filthiness. And the fact that he would give me the presence of mind to be able to understand this. Look at what it says in Psalm 86, 5. It says, for you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in mercy to all those who call upon you. He wants the heart of the sinner. I'll give you an example. I told Pastor this when we were eating breakfast. I was preaching a funeral service, and this is a true story, y'all. I was preaching a funeral service, and there were, where you guys are sitting right now, there was about 15, 20 young men. And this is how much the heart of God. He will give you even an opportunity until it's your last moment. They were sitting right here, and the Lord said, just keep preaching salvation. Keep talking about salvation. Keep talking about the gospel. And I kept preaching, and I was heavy. I started weeping. I started crying because I didn't understand why I was so heavy. I couldn't understand why I could barely get this out. And so after I got done preaching, y'all, I went home, and I started crying. I was weeping. I went home. I was exhausted, and I took a nap. And a few hours later, one of the members called me. And they said, Pastor, you'll never believe what just happened. I said, what happened? I said, Pastor, one of those young men that you were trying to compel and get to the kingdom, he left out of the church and a couple hours later got shot 25 times and died. What was the message in that? The message in that is that God, at that moment, they had forgotten about. They were laughing. People didn't think that was the crowd that he wanted. But even at that last moment, his heart was for the lost. Can't take that mission away. It's the same mission that gives us hope. It's the same mission that gives us the audacity to even live. So not only can we not change it because it's the heart of God, but then I want you to get this, you can't change it because it's the power of the gospel. The power of the gospel is not to make sense. It does not make sense. This is what's wrong with the church. We want to try to make it make sense. We want to try to make it something else. No, it's what it is. We're sinful. God loves us. He sent his son. Come to Jesus. That's it. There ain't no, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. No, we're sinful. God loves us. He sent his son. Receive him. The two, please hear me, two of the most important symbols in the Christian faith are, watch this, a bloody cross and an empty tomb. That's what we point to. We celebrate on Resurrection Sunday. But then we fail to offer it every single day. We can't change the mission. We can't change the mission. Listen to, oh, thank you, God. Oh, God, thank you. I feel somebody's heart even shifting now. I'm praying now that you will even, so God will put somebody on your heart that you can share the gospel with once you leave here. Listen to what Paul says. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of this gospel. I ain't ashamed of it, y'all. I'm ashamed of a lot of stuff. Pastor, you mind if I share a couple things about my testimony? Listen, I'm dyslexic, okay? I failed out of 7 universities. 7, not 1, not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, yes, 7. And you know what God did? He took my greatest weakness and made it my strength. How else does that happen other than the power of his love and the power of the gospel? It changes you. It renews you. It replenishes you. Look, Pastor, some of them are like, he can't come back no more. He done. They're like, Pastor, you can't bring him back no more. He done failed out of school. But that's the power of the gospel. It reaches you wherever you are, but it doesn't leave you there. Doesn't leave you there. Paul says, I didn't come preaching with eloquent words. I didn't come with philosophy. I didn't come with that today, y'all. If you looking for me to give you something to entertain you and tickle your ears, I ain't got nothing for you but Christ crucified. And I'm praying that somebody who's watching, where's the camera at, Pastor? Straight ahead. I'm praying that whoever is watching, where is that? Point to it again. Over here? Okay. Wherever you are, camera. Whoever is watching this right now, the power of God can reach you wherever you are. You are not outside of the saving grace of God. If you have life in your body right now, you can receive him. It's power. Listen to what he says in 1 Corinthians. He says, I am going to destroy the wisdom of the wise. And we in the church have become so foolish. We once used to hang our hats on the fact that God was gracious and merciful. And now what we've done is we've turned into spiritual hypocrites. He says, no, the cross is foolish to them that are perishing. I'm going to confound the wise. You can't put this in your mind. You can't put in your mind that the Son of God would become the Son of Man in order to make sons and daughters of men sons and daughters of God. That doesn't make any sense. Regardless of your race, regardless of your gender, regardless of where you are, the love, the gospel has to reach them. Listen, I went to seminary. I studied all this stuff. Pastor will tell you there is a doctrine called predestined hell. But here's the thing. We don't know who's going. So you want to know what? We got to keep evangelizing. We got to keep reaching because we don't know who's going to respond. Could be somebody even in here. And as much as that may tickle you, if you're familiar with the story of the prodigal son, Jesus was never talking about the son who left and came back. He never was talking about that boy. He was talking about the man, the brother who was inside the house and had the favor of his father, had everything, but did not want his brother to return back. That's not the heart of God. The heart of God says this, I'm sinful, I'm lowly. I'm no better than you. God did the same thing for me. God says, I'm going to destroy this. I'm going to destroy all this stuff. I want to get this to you, those of you who may be familiar with Tom Rainer. Tom Rainer has a quote in his book, In the Autopsy of a Deceased Church. This is what he says. He says, a church without a gospel-centered purpose is no longer a church at all. You cease being a church when you're not gospel-centered. When we're not going after the lost. Please hear me, that's the heart of God. But not only is that the power of the gospel, but here it is right here. Don't change it because that's what penetrated our hearts. You can't change it. Don't get spiritual amnesia. Some of y'all, even right now, you already done tuned me out. God bless you. I done did what God told me to do. But we've gotten spiritual amnesia. We've forgotten what he's taken us out of. We've forgotten what he's continuously done for us. Don't you know when you were suicidal and may have wanted to take your life, it was the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit that stayed your hand? That wasn't your own doing. When you were depressed and you were lonely and you were broken and you were fearful, and you felt isolated. That was the power of God resurrecting you and bringing you back. Have we forgotten that God has taken some of us out of the barroom? Have we forgotten that God has blessed some of us with great jobs and great homes and great families and great ministries? Or have we become the spiritual Pharisees? Looking down on those who talk to the common man. I got some people in my church sometime when, you know, there's people, we have a lot of homeless people around and things of that nature, and they'll see me outside talking to them, and they'll say, Reverend, you ain't got to talk to them, we'll talk to them. I said, no. I don't care if I'm a pastor or not. The same grace that has reached me is the same grace that I can extend to them. He's looking for it. Listen, we got a song in our church that we sing, "Thank You, Holy God." And it says this: I was sinking deep in sin. Not you, I. We put the onus on me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. But the master of the sea, he heard my despairing cry. And from the water, he lifted me. Now safe am I. And then we go on to declare what it was. We go on to say that it was love that lifted me. When nothing else could help, when philosophy couldn't help, when the government could not help, when my family couldn't help, when my friends couldn't help, that's when love swooped in. Thank you, Holy God. That's why Romans says it like this: but he commended his love toward us. And while we were yet sinners, he demonstrated it. He didn't wait until we got righteous. He didn't wait until we had it together. He didn't wait until we were coming to church. He found us when we were in the gutter, when we were in the muck and mire, when our minds weren't right, when our spirits weren't right. There's another song that says, he looked beyond my faults and he saw my needs. God, I'm trying to hold myself, y'all, because I really feel like jumping. But the fact of the matter is, if you experience the power of the gospel, if you experience his saving power, it changes you. You will beg people. You will compel them because you remember what it felt like to walk around in darkness. You remember what it felt like when you didn't know which way to go. You remember what it felt like when you had no hope, when you had no peace, when you had no direction. And I'm speaking to some people in here who don't want to be religious. Go to some of them places, some of those desolate places, and go and talk to them and say, "Brother, did you know that Jesus loves you?" I'll give you a story. Another story. Pastor, it seems like these stories keep coming. There's a restaurant around my house that I go to sometime. This guy, I would go in there all the time, and we would talk, and I would just communicate with him. I didn't know his story. I told him who I was. I said, "You know, I'm a pastor up the street. You know, I do this, blah, blah, blah." I just kept talking to him. I didn't go Bible beat him. "You going to hell, you wretched man." No, I didn't do that. I did what Jesus did. I just talked to him. And I would go there for about a year. One particular day, he came in and he was sobbing. And I had no idea what was going on. I came and I sat down in my normal spot. And he came over to me. And he said, "Reverend, can you just pray with me?" He said, you've just been a good friend. He said, "Everybody else, when they come in here, they judge me. They won't even talk to me." It was through just that simple action of talking and not condemning him that I believe that man came to Christ. How did it happen? It happened because that's the same grace that penetrated me. I know you love where you're at. Listen, this is a beautiful sanctuary. It's beautiful. It's amazing. This pulpit is awesome. I told Pastor I love preaching this thing. It's great. That's why I keep walking around. I'm trying to savor every moment here. I don't know when I'm coming back, so I got to savor every moment. What am I essentially saying to you? Don't change the mission. Keep the heart of God. It's sinners he's after. I leave you with this. You see me now, and I shared this story with Pastor Liam when we went to breakfast. This is how powerful the gospel is. And it can reach anybody. And sometimes all you got to do is just plant the seed and God will do the rest. I'll never forget this until the day that I go to be with the Lord. I was in third grade And there was a play in my school. I'm not going to tell you the school, and I'm not going to tell you the teacher, because God may have changed their life. So I don't want to put them on the spot. And I've been praying for that, actually. But I was in a play, and the play was called The Presidents of the United States. I knew my lines. My parents helped me memorize my lines. I knew them verbatim. I knew exactly what to say. I knew when to come in. I don't remember them now, but... So don't ask me after service, well, what were those lines? I don't remember. When I got done auditioning, I went to my teacher, and she said, "Herb, that was real good." She said, "But you know what? You can't play George Washington." I said, "Why not?" She said, "You can't play George Washington because you're black." I wept. I went home. I was crying to my parents. I said to my mom and dad, I said, "What's wrong with being black? What's wrong with me?" Hear me very closely. My father and my mother are from the Deep South. My mom is from Brewton, Alabama. You can't even find that on the map. My father's from Memphis, Tennessee. He heard the shot that assassinated Dr. Martin Luther King. He lived around the corner. He had to go to the grocery store and get meat and go to the back door because he wasn't good enough to be in the front door. He remembers chopping soybeans. He remembers picking cotton. He remembers sitting on the back of the bus. He remembers all these things. This is what he said to me. He planted the seed of the gospel. When I was a little kid, he said, "Son, you cannot hate. That's not God's way. You got to love. You got to even love the worst of person, because that's the power of God." And I fought it. I fought it for years. I ran. I didn't want to do it. I was enraged. I told you, Pastor, I was enraged because I was angry. But you know what happened over time? I couldn't run from that love. I couldn't run from even the love that was planted in my heart, because I was angry. I was mad. I wanted to fight every white person. I'm not that way now, y'all. But I was so angry. And what happened is, because my dad saw that he had to plant that seed, now God has changed my heart and given me a heart for everybody. How does it happen? Through the gospel. It changes them. It changes who they are. That's why Jesus was around the sinners. That's why he sat with them. As we're closing today, I want you, please, next time you see somebody who you feel does not deserve God's grace, you think about, what if God didn't extend his grace to me? When you see that whore on the street corner, and instead of judging her, maybe walk over to her and say, "Hey, sis, here's some clothes." Next time you see that drug addict that's on the ground that looks like they're going in and out, instead of saying they should have done better than that, go over to them and pray for them. Next time you're around that family member who's belligerent and angry and doesn't want to receive Christ, go and offer to pray with them. Because you never know who God can reach. Look at me. I'm living proof that God can reach anybody. I wouldn't preach this thing if I didn't believe it. I wouldn't even come in here and waste your time. But I've seen it. I've seen the power of God change the worst people. I've seen it. I seen them, the people who people thought would never get it right. God washed them up. Please, don't change the mission with your own. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for your word today. And God, I thank you for your presence. I thank you, God, for the preaching of the gospel. God, I pray even now that if there's someone who needs salvation, that they will be drawn even after this service, that they will go to the elders, that they will go where they need to go and say, I want this power. I want this fire that this preacher talking about. Father, I pray for this church. I pray, God, that you will continue to press and move them forward. God, I pray that they will continue to have your heart and not the heart of man. For your heart is seeking the lost. We love you and we thank you. And we give you praise in advance of what you're going to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.